Well, I just find this hysterical that my topic is immutability. I can hardly even say that. Most of the time I'm going to bumble over that word. But because here we are, we're in the sanctuary. That's another change, right? And when I first heard about that, I was like, I don't think I can do that. I think this is like holy ground. I don't think. But then they said I could be down on the floor, so that made me feel like I wasn't being sacrilegious being up there or something. So that helped. But the Lord continues to change things, although the Lord doesn't change Himself. At 1:30 this morning, my toothbrush decided to be possessed and turn on and would not turn off. You should have seen me. I was like thinking I was going to have to bring it into the office this morning to tell them to cut off my toothbrush. I'm pretty sure my dog is at home dying. I was like, that's sad, but the dog is 15 years old. I put two baby blankets over it and left. But here we are, and I'm excited about this. I have to tell you a little story, though. This is kind of funny. You know, we've been studying, those that lecture study for months on end. And back in the summer, I started studying on immutability, and Vonda started studying on her attribute. And, you know, Vonda and I are good friends. And so I was over there one day, and I was like, I just love this. This is just an amazing attribute. You know, I think it's the cornerstone of all the attributes. It's just the best. And she goes, oh, no. Now, I think supremacy and sovereignty is the best and everything. And I had to crack up because we had studied it so much, we kind of helped this ownership thing. But the reality of it is God's amazing attributes are for every believer. And what an amazing gift that is. I would like to tell you that you are going to get a handout, but you'll get it in your group. I knew it would be kind of hard to write. No notes in here. And in your handout, you will have all the references, scriptural references, so you won't feel like, you know, you're missing out on that. And then you will also have the applications that have come up for this particular lesson, so you will get that in your group. Well, let's begin. I'd like to start our time, as always, just asking the Lord to bless this. I'm not a person who likes to chew gum, but and allergy seasons, that's what I'm doing right now, so please forgive me for that. I have my stash of Kleenex up here, so hopefully that won't be a distraction to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the opportunity to look in your Word. And Lord, I just thank you that you allow us the privilege of getting to know you more. Lord, I pray that each one of us will be changed by studying your unchangeableness. Lord, I'm just so awed by that. And I pray, Father, that all of us will not take that lightly. Lord, no doubt all of us have had distractions this morning. I pray that we will take every thought captive now and help me to accurately exposit your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, did you change your mind this morning? Did you get up and see the temperature was different than what you thought? Maybe decide to change your clothes? I did, I thought. I had this red sweater picked out, and I was like, okay, no, if I get hot, then I'll cough, so I better not. I got to wear something lighter. And, you know, perhaps you changed your mind about traffic and changed your course of the way that you got here this morning. Or perhaps you changed your mind about you didn't think you were going to be able to make it here. I want you to know you made the right decision. So I'm glad if that was indeed immutability. That is to say that God never differs from himself. This is difficult for us to grasp because we differ from ourselves all the time. We are constantly changing, and our world is constantly changing. Change for us is impossible to escape. You know, right now, we're in fall, and it won't be long before fall will turn into winter. And it won't be long before winter will turn into spring, and then spring will turn into summer. Now, this is really cool. I had this amazing thing that would show you this young woman that would turn into an older woman. But like everything else this morning, amazingly, my PowerPoint won't work at this thing. So you have to imagine this. But you know, when I look in the mirror, I don't look the same as I did 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And the idea is, ladies, is that we are constantly changing. Does anybody here like to garden? Nobody? Am I the only one? Okay. I do when my allergies permit. And, you know, I just planted pansies, and I'm hoping that my pansies don't look like the little single pansy, you know, in a couple of weeks. As I fertilize them, I want them to, you know, and they will get bigger. And then one day I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find weeds, right? And then eventually the seasons are going to change and those pansies are going to die. Our world is constantly changing. If we had a blade of grass in front of us, it would change within hours. But God never changes. In Malachi, God is unchanging and unchangeable. That is a very concise definition. When you get to your groups, I do have like a spot on your handout for a definition. That was the shortest definition, and I thought was very concise. God is unchanging, and He is unchangeable. I think that's an important part. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." James 1:17 says, "Every good gift, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows." Now, you know, we have celestial bodies. I've been looking at the moon lately because it was really small and it's getting bigger now. And those change. They have patterns, seasons. God is the originator of that. But He is not subject to those patterns or changes. God never changes. God is the Father of lights. The doctrine of God's immutability, I think, is of highest significance. I do believe that this attribute is the cornerstone of all else. Now, why do I say that? Because if God can't change, then that means He will never be any more holy or any less holy. He will never be any more faithful or any less faithful. He will never be any more good or any less good. He is perfectly good and perfectly unchanging in all His attributes. And that has an amazing effect on each one of us. And hopefully you'll be able to see some of that. The contrast between the Creator, never changing, and the creature, you and me, who are in constant flux, if you'll ponder with me for a minute, I believe is striking. I think it's amazing. Psalm 102:25-27, it says, "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing you will change them, and they will be changed. But you, O God, you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." Do you know only God can say that? Only God can say that my years will not come to an end. Everything else will perish. Do you need counsel, wisdom, guidance? Who doesn't? God doesn't. God needs no counsel, as He explained to Job, if you remember. And the amazing thing is psychologists and sociologists change in their advice as counsel as years go by. I remember several years ago reading the advice that if a child was in a turbulent home, it would be better for that child to, you know, go through a divorce than to stay in that turbulent home. Now, the research shows that it's better for the child to stay in the turbulent home than to come from a split home. The idea is, ladies, is that they change continually in their advice and their counsel. But the God who knows all things, counsel never changes because He is always right. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning and the end. In Psalm 33:1, it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plan of His heart from generation to generation." Have you ever been betrayed, hurt by broken promises? Of course you have. If we were to pull this group of women and hear of the different broken promises or betrayal in their lives, we would all collectively weep. There is no one that has not been touched, some deeper than others. Often it is family members or maybe a dear friend that has betrayed us in some way, or even a spouse that has betrayed us. Not so with God. He is forever faithful, unchanging in His promises. That right there should lay us prostrate to worship Him. How amazing. In Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said it, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good?" 1 Samuel 15:29 says, "Also the glory of Israel will not lie or change His mind, for He is not a man that He should change His mind." God is spirit. He is not man. It is impossible for God to lie. Well, in contrast, we are like a pendulum. Our emotional pendulum swings from high to low, but God never changes. We change continually in our thoughts and emotions. And as women, I think we even have the amazing capacity to do it even much faster than a man. We go through emotional and spiritual highs and lows. And in those times, ladies, we think that we're closer to God. And then when we go through our lows, often we feel abandoned when our pendulum swings low. But ladies, it's not true. It's not really a reality. God's immutability does not alter one tiny bit based on our emotions or our feelings or our thoughts. Just as true as it means that we do not merit any more closeness in our spiritual highs, we do not lose favor in God's sight when we have our emotional lows. I just want to go, phew, isn't that great? What great news that we do not change in any way God. Well, what does this mean for you and me? What effect does God's immutability have on my salvation? It means, ladies, that if you have repented from your sin and turned to Jesus as the only one who can save you from your sin, it means that you are sealed forever. Forever. John 10:29, it's one of my favorite verses, says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Once you are sealed, no one can take you from the Father's hand. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that incredible? On October 14th, Pastor Pennington in the morning sermon gave us a perfect illustration of how secure an inheritance we have. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 1:3-11. And as I read this, just listen to the words that stand out to you that shows how sealed you are, how secure you are. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ in Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise and of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us, made in all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained, we've already obtained it, an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Sorry. I don't know how to do this with a microphone. It already sounds like a microphone when I don't need it, but I have a microphone. Will God change His mind about our salvation? No. We are predestined. We are chosen. We are adopted. He purposed. It is after the counsel of His will. No, God can't change, and God can't lie. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast as one who enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The unchangeableness of His purpose. Herein lies our great encouragement. What sweet relief. What amazing truth. Our salvation is secure because God doesn't change even when we do. It is what separates Christianity from all other beliefs, from Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics. All of these religions have a system of works that you must continually do in order to obtain an entrance into heaven. It's an impossible situation because our works are never good enough. Do you know even popes and nuns can't hold to that scripture that we read in John, that they're sealed forever? They pray that they will die in a stage of grace, preferably doing the rosary. What insecurity? Because it is based on what they do, not on what God has already done. You know, recently we read of the turmoil of Mother Teresa. Why? Why great such turmoil? All that she did. Because it could never be enough. It could never be enough. No, our salvation is not based on doing good works. It's not based on living a moral life, on being pure, on giving money or time, or going to church. It's not based on going to Mass or following sacraments or being baptized. None of the above. If it were, how good must we be? Ladies, how good must we be to get to heaven? Perfect. Holy. For God is holy. That's how good we would have to be. Excuse me, I need to back up. God is unchangeable in His holiness or standard. But people change. People change for the good, although any lasting change is only through the Holy Spirit. And people, unfortunately, sometimes change for the bad. People we love lie, cheat, are sexually permissive, are addicted to alcohol or drugs. They grieve us, but more importantly, they grieve the one who made them. Based on all that, who are you going to cling to? Man or God? Psalm 146:3 says, "Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and that day his thoughts perish." We trust in God. He is our refuge and strength. Why? Because He never changes. But what about, do you ever wonder about those other passages that seem to indicate elsewhere, where it says God changed His mind? Let's look at God's immutability as a skeptic. But first, we need to understand God is unchanging in His being, His perfections, His purposes, and promises. Yet God does act and feel emotions. And He acts differently in response to different situations. This is part of what we call God's permissive decree. For instance, what about when God said He was sorry that He made man in Genesis? Or that He was sorry that He made Saul king in 1 Samuel? These instances should be understood as true expressions of God's present attitude or intention with respect to the situation as it exists at that moment. In short, God responds differently to different situations. In Wayne Grudem's theology, he says, "In some cases where God said He was sorry that He made man or that He made Saul king, these two can be understood as expressions of God's present displeasure on the sinfulness of man. Consider it as analogous to a father who is allowing his son or daughter to take a course of action that will surely cause pain or grief, but he does so for the greater long-term good that will come of it." As a parent, I've had to allow that myself before. And if you're a parent, then you probably have as well. Remember, God does feel emotions. He's the originator of emotions. God rejoices. In Isaiah, God is grieved. In Psalms and Ephesians, His wrath burns hot against His enemies. He pities His children. He loves with an everlasting love. God is the great I Am, unchanging, existing eternally. This incorporates the past, the present, and the future. The concept of God growing or developing is not found in scriptures. For us as women, it is possible for us to go from better to worse, from immature to mature, but God does not change in these directions, for He is, was, and always will be perfect. Among all His other attributes, He does not change. This is truly one of the most amazing and comforting attributes of God. He is perfectly holy, so He has never been less holy than He is now, and He can never be more holy. How can you change perfection? For us, that almost sounds like a joke, but for God, it is a reality. God will not compromise, nor will He be manipulated. I want to repeat that. Please listen to this. God will not compromise, nor will He be manipulated. Now, sometimes we understand that on an intellectual level, and we don't realize that, in fact, that is what we desire or are doing. Anybody have daughters? Some of you already know what I'm going to say. We're females. We're good manipulators. God cannot be persuaded to change His word to our liking or answer our selfish prayers. The change must be from within, on our part. Often we want people or circumstances to change, and yet we need to consider what perhaps needs most to change is our own image in the mirror. I am the Lord. I change not. Instead of fighting people, circumstances, we need to exert our energy into meeting God's clearly stated terms, bringing our lives in accordance with His revealed will, and His infinite power will work within us. What does all this mean for me? And ladies, this could have been a really long lecture. It won't be. But if we were to delve in the different ways of how we would want God's word compromised or how we could be manipulative, it could be an exhaustive search. I've only hit on just a few ideas. And hopefully each one of us will search our hearts and see if we're guilty of such. But what does all this mean for me? Well, worship. God's immutability should make us fall in love with Him all the more. How amazing! It should make us worship. Each day when we start our quiet time, it should make us worship. God doesn't change, but I should change. How? Quit fighting people? Quit fighting circumstances? Are there people in your life responding ungodly? Probably. Don't you act ungodly. You have a choice. Just because someone responds ungodly doesn't mean that you then need to respond ungodly. Quit fighting circumstances. Are you having a pity party? Are you questioning God? How could He? Instead, focus on what needs to change in me. Lord, You are sovereign. You know best. What in me needs to change? Examine yourself. Are you in any way trying to manipulate God or persuade Him to change His word? You see, we like a lot of parts of God's words. But then we come across something that doesn't fit in with our lifestyle or the particular thing that we're doing, and we want to change that a little bit or not accept that or kind of ignore that. God doesn't change. Well, how has this played out? There's a lot of ways. It could be the idea of, if I do this, I can expect God to bless me in this way. That's where our health and prosperity, health and wealth, prosperity idea comes from. Sometimes it's in the area of morality. And I've had many conversations with Christian women like this. I see some of y'all nodding your head. You have too. But you can't argue with true love as an excuse for what God calls immoral. Coveting another husband, thinking that, you know, oh, their family is so much more spiritual and godly, and I wish I had that. Loving what God says is forbidden. That can be a multitude of things, from material to relationships to you name it. Justification for adulterous or homosexual relationships. I'm amazed that churches actually discuss whether or not homosexuality should be in the church when God couldn't be more black and white. Clear on it. See, that's where we've gotten to, though. And I've had women tell me, but I truly love this person, so it must be right. You see, we're sinful people. And we desire to do what we want to do so strongly that sometimes we will discount God's holy word. But God is unchanging. Well, there's one thing else that I would like to close with. One, in conclusion, comfort, great, great comfort should come in knowing that because God doesn't change, He doesn't change our mind about, oh, I wish I hadn't saved that person, so I guess I'll just take them off the book of life. Once saved, we are always saved. And as fickle as I can be, I'm so thankful that the God that I serve is not, that He is unchanging. And in addition to that, as I was thinking this morning, you know, we probably all have past regrets. Everybody regrets something in their life. But you know, I'm reminded of what Paul said. And he says that he presses on, forgetting what's behind and pressing on. So ladies, if you're sad about things that you can't change, press on. God doesn't want you to stay in that. You confess your sins. If you need to make it right with someone, you do that. But then you press on. God has a work for you. Press on. Because the Lord changes not. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You so much. Lord, I have to thank You that I didn't cough through this. That's just an amazing grace that You gave. I appreciate that. Lord, it does just make us want to worship You all the more. Lord, still our hearts, not just today and not just now, but later today and tomorrow as we raise up to remember. And not to come to You with just our list of prayer requests, but to pause and worship Your great unchangeableness. Lord, may we be encouraged. I don't know what each person is struggling with, but You do. And Lord, I thank You that You don't leave us here to be alone, that You have given us leaders and godly women and sisters in Christ to help us. Lord, help us to reach out to others and to open up to others. Help us to be changed, Lord, by Your unchangeableness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.